In this episode of the Exploring for Mission Security podcast, how to be a good mentee. Welcome to the Exploring for Mission Security podcast, where you will learn, explore, and grow your security mindset. I am your host, Timothy D. Block, and in this episode, we will be exploring how to be a good mentee. Joining me today to discuss this is Amanda Berlin and Wolfgang Gorlick. Amanda and Wolf, how are you guys?
Awesome. How are you?
Fantastic. Wolf, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having us on, Tim.
Yep. So we just recently released a podcast about how to find a good mentor. And Wolf brought up a good point is that there's another side to that is how to be a good mentee. So you can go look for it, but there are certain things that mentees can do once they get this advice. So I decided to have both Amanda and Wolf on because this is very near and dear to their heart. They might rant a little bit, but that's okay. Cause we're going to provide some actionable advice, maybe some not so actionable advice, but we'll kind of get into it and see.
I am feeling especially ranty today.
So. That's good to know. All right. But so first question, who is a mentee?
Those are the little white things you drop in Diet Coke.
No. Those are Mentos.
Oh, dang it.
You got it wrong again.
I am completely unprepared for this podcast.
We could also drop mentees and Coke, but I'm not sure if that's part. I'm not sure that's part of this podcast.
I don't think they fizz as much.
No.
You won't know until you try.
You're right.
In any pair, right, when you've got someone who's trying to learn a good skill or pick up on something and someone who knows, someone who's been there, someone who's got the relationships and the knowledge and the experience, right, that guy is the mentor. And you hit the nail on the head, Tim. We discussed this at great length on the last podcast, what makes a good mentor, how to find them, how to avoid the bad mentors. But the opposite side of that is those in the podcast who are like, look, I want to be mentored. Look, I want to learn. Look, I want to get in this field. And I'm excited about this talk because, you know, Amanda and I have had lots of conversations about this in that people come up to us and are like, tell us everything. And Amanda, what happens when someone's like, hey, tell me all your secrets. I want to be Amanda Berlin.
So the majority of the time I run into this, and I mean, honestly, I feel like I shouldn't be a mentor because I haven't been in the field that long. But still, I have a lot of people say, how have you gotten to where you're at? And can you teach me about whatever? Like if it's a topic that I've talked about, if you're willing to learn and put in the work, like those are the two things that are super important. Other than that, like you don't have to be like super, you know, genius or whatever, you know, you just have to be willing to work like whatever level that you're at. That's how much work that you need to put in.
Okay. So there's hard work and, you know, what else makes a good mentee?
Someone who shows up. You know, one of the most frustrating things I have, I go to a lot of conferences. You know, I present a lot of conferences. I teach at a lot of conferences. I run a couple conferences. And for every, 20, 30, 40 people come up to me and are like, I want to get into this field. And I've got some pretty simple advice on how to get into this field. Show up, you know. Set some goals for yourself, volunteer, get on podcasts, do these things. For every 20, 30, 40, 50 people who I give that advice, only one person will actually follow through. And if you think of a funnel, there's this huge bulk of people on the top who are like, I want to get an InfoSec. It seems sexy. It seems fun. It seems great. It seems awesome. And we're like, great. All you need to do is learn from others and show up. And they're like, nah, never mind.
That's too much work.
That's too much work. And then you see them again 6 months later and they're like, this is great. How have you been? I'm so excited. I want to get an InfoSec. And you say, this is, I'm excited. This is great. How about you set some goals and learn something and, you know, maybe contribute back to an open source project. And then disappear again.
There's so many, I don't want to say easy, but there's so many available things out there that you can do for learning. Right? I just recently talked to this guy on Twitter. Like I started this Hacker Secret Santa thing. Right. So it was basically just a Secret Santa, but you have to find out what your person likes based on OSINT. So you have to go out and find out what they like on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. Started talking to this guy just getting into InfoSec. Right. He is super passionate about learning, like in general. He has his ham radio license. He's been doing like gaming and PC building for a while. And that, you know, wasn't enough for him anymore. So I don't know how he got, you know, caught wind of the whole InfoSec thing. But I've been talking back and forth with him for a couple days on Twitter, and he has these huge long emails with questions. And, you know, he's looking at blogs. He's listening to talks that have been given at conferences. He's setting up his own home lab. Tim, you had a talk, I think, at Circle City.
Yeah, we had training. Yeah.
Right, training at Circle City. So there was, you know, a recording of that that I pointed him to that he's going to look at so he can create his own home lab. So there's so much stuff out there that you can be pointed to and do. And there's, you know, so many people just don't do it. Like, you can say that you want to be in InfoSec, and you can, I mean, and it goes, it's like that with any field. You know, it's not just our field. You can say that, oh my God, I want to be, you know, the world's best quilter, but you can say it all you want, but you actually have to go out there and learn how to do it.
You might, I can't say
that. So why do you think that is? Like, why do you think people just don't follow the advice?
I think in this day and age, we live in the dummies era, right? How to do DNS for dummies? How to be in IT for dummies? How to do anything for dummies? And we live in the era of
the instant. Let me tell you, there is no easy way to do DNS.
No, I saw the book. there is a dummies book for DNS. I saw it just today. I was doing some consulting. So, there's also like, you know, learn X language in 10 hours, be a guru in InfoSec just by taking this 2-day class. Everyone wants it to be easy, and everyone wants it to be simple. I think there is a thought that maybe the mentor just needs to bestow on you the magic book or class or just the one thing you need. And that's not the case. If you are a mentor, you have to have a long-term perspective, or mentee rather, right? These types of relationships, they're a friendship. They're something that takes effort. You don't just magically have a mentor and he's like, read this one book and listen to this podcast and poof, you're amazing. You've got to be willing to show up, put time into the relationship, explore what's being offered, take it in. And too many people want the easy way out, I think.
So patience would be a good bit of advice for anyone with a mentee, is that there's going to be a long road ahead in really anything that you do and IT in general.
Absolutely. I mean, being a mentee is a quicker path, but it's the difference between taking years versus taking years. You know what I mean? It's a few less years. It's a lot less pain, but we're still talking in terms of a longer perspective. So show up and have a longer perspective.
Right. Yeah. And I'd say, like, even today, I still consider myself a mentee. So when I'm struggling with something or I have, you know, questions about certain things, I reach out to, you know, the mentors within my network and ask them questions and ask for feedback. I think actually me and Wolf, you and I just had an exchange about a talk idea that I had.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I think that that's also something to keep in mind too, is that you're always going to kind of be, especially if you're looking to keep advancing your career, keep challenging yourself, you're going to be continue to interact as both a mentor and a mentee, because I've also been on the other side where I have people email me, how do you start a podcast? What do you do? Or, you know, because of this podcast, I get quite a few people looking to get into the field or already in the field and looking for advice on things, you know, resources. I'm working on a post right now on good resources for someone in InfoSec. So there's kind of like, you're always going to be both a mentor and a mentee.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. And Amanda, I think back to when I was first looking at PCI DSS and I was bugging you way too much. Hey, do you have time when you're driving to work just to talk to me for a few minutes? Because, you know, that's the way it works.
And it doesn't matter how long you're in a field. Like there are parts of it that you aren't going to know, and there's going to be somebody better at, you know, this nuance of whatever you've been working on forever. I've been a Windows admin for a long time. Like I had my MCITP in 2008 R2, and I had 2008, you know, Windows Server 2008 R2, like down to a science. And there, like, I went to write a chapter about it, and there was a good amount of stuff that I didn't know enough about to write. You know, like there's always going to be somebody that knows more than you, and that it should be the case, right? You don't always want to just assume that you're the most knowledgeable person in the room.
Yeah, that's a good point too, right? Being a mentee is about having a learner's perspective, having the desire and ability to seek out rooms where you are not the most knowledgeable person. And being okay with that, right? Not having your ego tied to being the guy with the biggest brain and the most knowledge about a topic.
Yeah, those are the mentors that you want to stay away from.
What, the ones with the egos?
Yeah, the ones with the egos and think that they are the end all be all of whatever that, you know, they're the specialist at.
So that brings up an interesting question is how as a mentee do you identify when you're kind of getting bad advice from a bad mentor?
Right. That's a good question. I think mentors should be, you know, willing to say that they don't know. Like, I think of that about, you know, every facet of life, right? I'm never, maybe it's just me, I'm never super sure of myself anyways. You know, when you're picking a mentor, you don't want to pick somebody that always says that they are right, no matter, you know, what it is. You know, that there's the people that are, you know, super full of themselves and, you know, subject matter experts on whatever technology. A little bit of humility, I think, goes a long way.
Yeah, I think in that instance, it's like that good mentor would be like you said, I don't know. Say, I don't know, but let's go figure it out.
Right.
And I think that's one of the bigger things, too, is just figuring out how to figure something out. Mm-hmm. You know, where to go or, you know, what books to read or what blogs or what search terms to put into Google. Or, you know, in this case, he might have some other mentor he goes to that might have more information on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good point, too. Right. But I would add a clarification to that, in that a good mentee is one that realizes for every minute a mentor gives you, you're probably going to put in an hour of work as a mentee.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because I've seen mentees who want me to do all the work and like walk them through every step.
Exactly. And
I would love to do that, but the reality is I don't have time. And Tim, you mentioned some of the exchanges you and I have had. It's usually like, hey, I've got this question. I'm like, A, it takes me way too long to respond, and I'm sorry. But B, I'm like, here's, you know, three options, three keywords to search on, two people you can talk to. Let me know what else you need. And then you're off and running, right? Or when I was talking with Amanda about PCI or something similar, she's like, this is the context. Here's what you need to know. Go. And then I would go dig in and find out more work.
That's the key. Like, the person actually goes and does stuff with that information.
Yes. They don't just go, oh, that's too hard. Will you make it more simple for me? And as the mentor, you're like, look, you are too much work, and I've got 10 people I can help. And I'm going to go help the people who are getting more out of these interactions.
So being proactive, would you say?
Oh, yeah.
Just active in general and I guess following, taking that bit of advice and actually trying to do something with it.
Yeah, because the people that don't do that are the ones that expect the mentor to be like a college professor. You know, you're sitting them down. You are force feeding them information like out of a textbook and making them learn something. That's not a mentor. That is, you know, I'm not getting paid for this. I'm being a mentor out of the kindness of my heart because I feel like it would help our industry. I'm not going to sit here for hours on end every day and help you learn something. I'm going to give you what you need to do it on your own.
You know, Amanda brings up a good point is that a mentor's time is very valuable and they are not an instructor. Don't confuse a mentor with a teacher. Don't confuse a mentor with, you know, a trainer who's going to be there day in and day out and put in the same amount of time you do. A good mentor is someone who can give you very, very high valuable information in a very, very short period of time that you then follow up on and work your butt off to figure out and to act on.
Yep, absolutely. Do you guys have a good example, and you don't have to name any names, but of someone that you've mentored and what they did that really impressed you?
I'll let you know when I have one.
Aw, Amanda.
Wolf was a great... mentee.
Thank you. I
talked to him about, you know, some PCI stuff that I put in place, and he went and implemented it somewhere else, and I didn't have to do anything else other than talk to him about it.
And now I tell everyone that Amanda's amazing.
Yes, and everybody else that I've tried to mentor sucks.
Ouch.
Unless they're listening to this podcast.
I was going
to
say, this really might be an example. Yeah.
The listening audience is great. No, I have had lots of examples where people have started off with nothing and went very, very far. And consistently, what sets those people apart is showing up, putting the time in, interpreting the information I give them in a way that makes sense to them. I think you had an interesting question earlier about how do you know if a mentor is good or bad? And a lot of it is, you know, if you teach someone how to cook and they're like, that's great, but or cook a meal. And they're like, that's great, but I really don't like any of these ingredients. But I do like this technique. And then they bring in their own ingredients and make it their own. That's a good mentor-mentee relationship, right? If you got someone who is like, I will try on your mentality, your beliefs, I will try on your way of doing this, and then I'll keep of the 10 things you told me, the two or three that work really well for me, and I'll make them my own, that's a good mentee. So it's not the people who parrot and duplicate, right? It's not the mini Amanda and the mini Wolf. It is the people who go, huh.
I don't know. I pay to see that.
Well, That we'll get you your own mini me. But it's the people who go, you know, that's really cool. I like what you did there. But in my own world, I see it like this, and I can take these two or three things away. And by the way, when I did that, I went ahead and solved this problem, helped this client, did this other thing. And I think that's a good point, too, is that a good mentee is one who the way they say thank you is by passing it on or letting you know of their success, right? A good mentee is someone who says, hey, you remember you gave me those two or three sentences over Twitter? Do you know that I went and applied that in my office in my own way and fed that into the security program and then got a promotion and then all these other things happen? You know what I mean? The way you say thank you is by acting on it and making it your own.
Yeah. So, mentors definitely, like, as you've noticed, both Amanda and Wolf notice when you're not taking their advice and they get very ranty.
I warned you. I warned you that I'd be ranty.
Mm-hmm.
And don't help you anymore, right? I mean,
yes.
Right. Yeah. That's probably the biggest thing is losing that resource is if you're expecting something out of it that's easy, it's just not. You're going to, you know, and like Wolf said, you don't have to take everything and follow. It's like maybe it starts you down this path and then you kind of veer off into your own path. That's fine, too. It's just actually acting on that bit of advice.
So a good example of that. So this is one of the few reasons why I'm so ranty. I had one person ask me for advice. We were going to DEF CON. There's, you know, a handful of CTFs at DEF CON. They wanted to know what could make them better during the participation of those CTFs, to get a little bit further. My background is mostly in networking and Windows stuff. So I made this homework in a Google document that was based around like network forensics, using Wireshark, using wiretaps. For each question I asked, I gave, you know, two answers that you could give. You could give a short answer that would only take like a couple hours, or you could do one that would take like a day or two. Like, you could either buy a network tap or do a span port, or you could make your own network tap. Like there's, you know, all those differences that you could do. Out of the 20 or so people I've given this document to, nobody's completed any of it.
Which is why she's so ranty. So you actually put extra effort into something that people could like do exercises on.
I spent like 2 hours creating this document. So if you are listening to this podcast and you have not done your homework, you are the reason why I'm so ranty.
I want you to send, after this podcast is over, I want you to send me a link. We're going to put it in the show notes. We're going to get some responses in there.
I've been told that people are going to do this. Like I even ranted in talks about how I've given this out and nobody's done it. I've had people come up to me afterwards and be like, oh, I'm totally going to do this. And nothing. Absolutely nothing.
All right. So our listeners of this podcast have an opportunity to help Amanda to change her mind and give her hope. Give Amanda
one
a hope.
Just one person doing one of the questions.
Yeah, send it to me. We're going to put it on the show notes. TimothyDBlock.com/EIS and do it. How to be a good mentee episode. There'll be a link there. I want someone to go do this. Thank you in advance.
Please. Yes,
thank you. Please.
Please. We can't keep listening to Amanda complain about this. I will start a GoFundMe.
Wolf has heard this rant a couple times already.
And honestly, that's one of the reasons why when Tim and I first talked about this, I'm like, you need to talk to Amanda.
All right. So what resources are available other than Amanda's link, which everyone's going to go do? Are there available for better understanding how to be a good mentee? If there are any. I don't know if there's any.
There was a article I saw a while ago called The 6 Habits of a Good Mentee. That's a good one. I would start there.
Okay.
Again, these are not, we're not talking magic. Just no. Know that it show up. Know that it's going to take some effort. Put the time in.
Yeah.
And communicate those results back
to the mentor. You don't have to know how to do any of it. All you have to know is how to Google. And if you have a question, that's what your mentor is for. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't know what a network tap is. Google it and find out as much as you can. And then when you have questions, that's when you ask your mentor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Is there anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't already discussed?
I would suggest that being a mentor is a skill, but being a mentee is a skill too. I think the people who go the furthest, definitely in IT, even more so in IT security, are the people who know how to do both, know how to take information, be a good mentee, and know how to share and be a good mentor. But I'm so glad for this podcast because I think it's so often overlooked. And the thought is that being a mentee is simply about, I'm just looking for my mentor. And I just, so, hey, there's one. I'll go to them. And the mentor, you know, the heavens open and the mentor's like, welcome. Let me grant you this wisdom. And life is good. But you really have to work at being a mentee. It takes effort. Not only in applying what they give you, but again, creating those feedback loops. You asked me X, I did Y. That's the greatest thanks I can ever get as a mentor, is to hear, oh, you pointed me at something, this happened. I'll tell you, Tim, I sat down for drinks yesterday, the day before we were recording this, and a CISO, I was meeting with one CISO, and he brought along one of his friends, who's another CISO that I know, like, hey, how's it going? He's like, great. You remember that conference we were at 2 months ago? I'm like, yeah, I do. He's like, you remember that guy you introduced me from ISEC? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. He goes, he starts Monday. Thank you so much for introducing me. He followed up and he put an application and I hired him. And I'm like,
awesome.
Wow, that as a mentor, right? That I'm like, that was a really good 10-minute use of my time. I helped find someone a job. Mm-hmm. And next time I see that guy, you better believe I'm going to take some time to help him out in other ways, because I know he follows up on it. I know he shows up. Do not waste people like Amanda's time, people like other folks in this industry's time who are there to help you, because they'll help you once. Maybe they'll help you twice. But the third or fourth time, they're like, no, really, here's the homework. Download this and ask me if you have any questions. They're not going to keep asking, because there's a million people we can help. We're going to help those who are really good professional mentees.
Yep, absolutely. All right, that was a great discussion, Amanda and Wolf. What would you guys like to plug?
Well, my book, obviously. it's out. So it's called The Defensive Security Handbook. And it has a subtitle, which I can never remember, through O'Reilly. And it is on their website. It is on Safari Online. I guess it's on Amazon, which I just learned about the other day. You can pre-order the physical copy, which isn't out until March. But if you get it, if you get the digital copy, you can get like the chapters as they come out, which I think they've released up to chapter 6.
Well, that's an interesting way of doing it.
Yeah. It's nice. You get kind of a preview of all the things we've written about thus far, even though we've kind of restructured the chapters and added some in the beginning. But, yeah, it's gone pretty well so far.
And on Twitter, what's your Twitter handle?
InfoSister. It's InfoSystir.
And then you're also keynoting at...
Besides Nashville, it's my first keynote. I'm equally parts nervous and excited. I don't know what I'm going to talk about yet. But they asked me to, so I must not be that bad of a speaker. So makes me a little happy.
That's good.
I mean, I don't know how... like what number I was on their list of people they were asking, but Last resort, ask Amanda.
I don't think it's that. B-Sides Nashville is one of the best B-Sides conferences to go
it
to.
It is. Looking at their other keynote speakers, it was like Jason Street and Trey Ford. I'm like, how the hell did they pick me?
Jack Daniel was the first. Yeah. Keynote. Yep.
All right. I'm whatever. Whatever. So, that's in April.
And speaking of conferences, this is Wolf Gorlick. If I may, I'd like to plug mine.
Go for it.
Oh, absolutely.
In May in Detroit, springtime in Detroit. It's a lovely, lovely season. We have two conferences. We've got the Converge Conference, which is the meeting of the minds for hackers and developers, which has tracks for secure software development, securing IT, and then the ever popular breaking both IT and development with the red team talks. So Converge is a 2-day conference, and then we have B-Sides Detroit, where you will oftentimes find the people who will be keynoting at conferences like B-Sides Nash. Proud to say that we had Amanda at B-Sides Detroit probably 2 years ago, and she was not yet the famed author. So come on out to Detroit and meet the up and coming folks in B-Sides Detroit. And if you're in town, sign up for Converge.
All right. Well, I think that's a wrap. So thank you, Wolf and Amanda, for joining me to discuss how to be a good mentee.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That will do it. Hopefully you learned something. Feedback is welcome at timothy.dblock@gmail.com or on Twitter at Timothy D Block. Show notes can be found at timothydblock.com/EIS. If you enjoyed the show, share it with others and rate it on iTunes. Have a good one.